So today marks the end of our series on Haggai. The time is now. So let me give you a quick recap of what we've been looking at. So Sarah spoke to us about the Jewish people who had been exiled for 50 years and who were finally able to return home. And the whole idea was that they would go home and start rebuilding God's temple. But what did they do? Instead, they started building their own houses. And so the prophet Haggai speaks to them, questions their priorities, and tells them to choose the hard right. And so finally, they're convinced, okay, I'm going to start building the temple. But as Kylie told us, they became very discouraged very quickly. And so she talked about persevering through discouragement. Don't give up. Be strong. Do the work. And that was the message of the Lord through the prophet Haggai. And this is where I pick up the story today. The Bible passage that we have is titled Blessings for a Defiled People. Defiled was this idea that something is unclean or has lost its purity. It's been stained. And so when we're looking or thinking of the Jewish people, their attitudes had stained them. The way that they acted, the fact that they put their priorities first had stained them. And so I don't know about you, but the first few verses, when I first read it, I was like, oh, I'm not sure what's going on here. So let me just unpack that for you. Ask the priest what the law says. If someone carries consecrated meat in the fold of their garment, and that fold touches some bread or stew, some wine, olive oil, or other food, does it become consecrated? The priest answered, no. Well, if you know me well, you would know that I love random questions. The youth can testify to that. One of my favorite is, what's your favorite kind of potato? Very random. But I have another question for you this morning, and Ryan is going to go around so he can get some of your answers. What is your favorite kind of pasta? Now, I'm not talking about the shape, because we all know that the little bow ties ones are the best. But I'm asking about the sauce. Do you like bolognese or carbonara? Just give me a few answers.
Lasagna.
Lasagna, well, that's really good. Anyone else? Any favorites?
Macaroni cheese.
Oh, yes. A good cheesy one. I like that. One more, maybe? Andrew's got one. Beautiful. Thank you, guys. Isn't pasta so good, honestly?
Fettuccine Bosciola.
Nice. Very fancy. Thank you, Ryan. Thank you. So, I don't know if you've made spaghetti bolognese before, but it has a tendency of getting things dirty, right? And if you put it in a transparent container, it usually remains a bit red, isn't it? And I always stain things. I stain clothes, I stain the counter, always put sauce everywhere when I make it. But basically what Haggai is saying in those two verses I read to you is, if you touch your spaghetti and the sauce with your clean hands, you're not going to make the spaghetti clean, right? You're going to make your hands dirty, to give you a little bit of a simpler explanation. So this example shows that holiness is actually not something that rubs off on others, but sin will. You see, consecrated meat was meat made holy for the sacrifice. And God promised to encourage and prosper his people, but they needed to understand that building the temple and doing activities around the temple was not going to make things right. It was not going to clean up their sins. Only repentance and obedience could do that, a true change of attitude. So I want to talk to you a little bit about obedience. Ryan, are you ready? I have one more question. Obedience. Now, I want to hear a few thoughts in the room. What does obedience mean to you, if you hear the word like that? Dot, what does it mean to you? Sorry, I'm putting you on the spot.
Yeah, that's right.
It means obeying what I am asked to do.
Okay. One more, two more maybe. Obedience. Yeah?
Obey your parents and your sister.
yeah, that's right. How about you, Vince? What does obedience mean, Vince?
Doing as I'm told.
that's right. Thank you, Ryan. So obedience in its simpler Old Testament meaning meant to hear, to listen. But it carried with it, however, the significance of hearing with awe and reverence. And it's an active thing, right? It's not just hearing something, but it's listening carefully. So in other words, hearing God's word and responding accordingly. And of course, as a good Bible student, you know, I did more research because it was really interesting. And when referring to obedience, there are another few things that come up. For example, listening with a repentant heart, having faith, and responding with trust. So obedience is when we pay attention to God, when we tend our ear and our hearts, when we come with a humble heart, ready to change, ready to be transformed, ready to act upon what he has called us to do. And obedience is an act of worship because we're saying with our action, God, I trust you with what's next. And so what I love about this book is that all throughout it, Haggai listened. He spent time in the presence of God and he took the message forward. And it's something that we can easily overlook, right? Because we're just, oh, he's a prophet. So of course he's gonna obey. But I'm sure that would have taken a lot of trust. So today I want to talk about a few things that we can do in order to obey God a bit better. My first point is today, are you listening? So this year I've started reading a devotional book that some of you may know. It's called My Utmost for His Highest. I know Kylie reads it as well. It's really good. I highly recommend. And a couple days ago, I read a sentence that really stood out to me. It said, we don't consciously and deliberately disobey God. We simply don't listen to him. We simply don't listen to him. And that pushes me to reflect on how I listen to God. Do I listen with a humble heart? Do I pay attention to what he is saying to me? And not just do I go to church on a Sunday and do I listen to the sermon? I hope you are listening. But do I listen to God in my everyday, in the small things? And then 1 Corinthians 15, verse 33 in the Message translation says this, think straight. Awaken to the holiness of life. No more playing fast and loose with resurrection facts. Ignorance of God is a luxury we can't afford in time like these. Aren't you embarrassed that you've let this kind of thing go as long as you have? This hits hard. I don't know about you guys, but I was convicted. Ignorance of God is a luxury we can't afford in times like this. I don't know about you, but ignoring God is the last thing that I want to do. But I can think of so many times in my life where I've failed to listen carefully and attentively. I wonder if you might think of some instances in your life where you have failed to listen and to pay attention. I had lunch with Margaret and Ken a couple days ago, and Margaret told me this story. She said to me, this is years and years ago, I was spending time with God, doing my morning devotions, prayer, and I felt like God was saying to me, just say yes. Just say yes. And it was kind of this prompting of the Holy Spirit, just say yes. But she said to God, "What are you talking about? I don't know. What do I say yes to? I'm not sure." But the point is, she paid attention to these little three words. And later on that day, she got a call from the Social and Territorial Department of the Salvation Army asking, "Will you go to Sydney?" At the time, she was in Brisbane. "Will you go to Sydney to fill in this position?" And so now the "just say yes" made sense. So she listened and she became the manager for the Samaritan House. Why am I telling this story? Because Margaret was available in that moment. She listened, even though she didn't have the full picture yet. She didn't really know what she was gonna say yes to at first, but she listened. Say yes, even when it doesn't make sense yet. Now our story goes on, and Haggai keeps developing his thoughts and the message of the Lord. And this is what it says in verse 14 and 15 in the Message paraphrase. So this people is contaminated. Their nation is contaminated. Everything they do is contaminated. Whatever they do for me is contaminated, God says. So think back. Before you set out to lay the first foundation stones for the rebuilding of my temple, how did it go with you? Isn't it true that your foot-dragging, half-hearted efforts at rebuilding the temple of God were reflected in a sluggish halfway return on your crops? This idea that people's attitudes and priorities affected their crops, it affected their work. They didn't see the results that they expected. In fact, for many years, the grain had only given 50% of what the expected yield was, and wine had done even worse. And why, God says? Because they hadn't made him the priority. So once again, here Haggai brings attention to people's priorities, and he talks about how their hearts need to be in tune with him first and foremost. God wants your heart first and foremost. And when you give it to him fully and without restraint, he blesses you beyond what you can imagine. It's a true, "Here I am, send me," in the small and in the big things. But now we don't give our hearts to Jesus so that we get blessed, right? That's not the reason why we do that. No, we obey him because we love him. And sometimes obeying in the little things can be a little bit harder. It might be a surprise to you, but it wasn't really hard for me to come all the way to Australia. I kind of knew that was the right thing to do, and I was confident, and I knew that God had me. But since being here, it's the everyday, the little things. It's focusing my attention on him and everything that I do that is difficult. Focus is difficult. Haggai heard the voice of the Lord, and he called men and women to the right priorities. He knew what was important. He knew that the heart mattered. He knew that we needed to respond to him with repentance. And this is our challenge too. Are we willing to obey? Are you willing this morning? Are you willing to say yes, like Margaret did? Are you willing to count the cost in the small and the big things? Are you willing to be used by God? Are you willing to be poured out as an offering? And that is my second point. Are you willing? Now, it's easy to say yes, but the problem is that we put conditions to our yes. We say, "Yes, God, I'll do it. Only if I can remain comfortable, though. Yeah, God, I'll do this as long as... Yeah, God, I'll obey. But this, no, I'm not willing to do. I'm willing to obey, but only to a certain point." And like the Jewish people that Haggai was speaking to, we often place a higher priority on our own comfort, our own personal comfort, instead of God's work and true worship. But God promises strength, guidance, and blessing when we put him first. He promises strength, guidance, and blessing. So are you listening? Are you willing? Verses 18 says, from this day on, give careful thought. And I think this is so important to remind ourselves every day, whatever we may be doing, to give careful thought to what's around us, to remember all that we've been through and how far God has brought us. From this day on, I will bless you. And I like that. I like that it ends in that verse 19, from this day on, I will bless you. Because when you give careful thought, when you put him first, when you say yes, things shift. And God didn't wait for the whole temple to be rebuilt and completed to bless them. No, he blessed them after their first step. After they relayed just the foundation, he blessed them. He did not wait for them to be perfect or to have all of the right priorities. God often sends his encouragement and approval with our first few obedient steps, and he's eager to bless us. The blessings of obedience. Blessing is a favor, a gift from God that brings happiness, that brings praise, that brings devotion, worship. And I like that blessing is not only for us, but it's also to bring him glory. So are you listening? Are you willing? Are you ready? Because the time to obey is now. The time is now. The last couple of verses say this. On that day, declares the Lord Almighty, I will take you, my servant Zerubbabel, declares the Lord, and I will make you like my signet ring, for I have chosen you, declares the Lord Almighty. And the signet ring, I don't know if I'm pronouncing this right, but it's okay. You know what I'm talking about. It was a seal, something that was used much like a signature these days. And so it was meaningful because it was actually reaffirming the covenant that God had made with David at that point. And so there's significance in that. There's significance. We're God's signature. We put our signature on what we do, the little and the big things. So today, even when stained, even when unclean, even when coming short, God says, I will bless you when you put me first. I will make you my signet ring. When we say yes, things shift. And you know what I love about this story is that through the ministry of Haggai and Zechariah and their obedience, people completed the temple. They finished it. The time is now.